And we are back, and at this time, it is our absolute pleasure to go to the BC Bonding Celebrity Hotline and bring in Hall of Famer and head coach at SMU now, Larry Brown. Coach, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
Coach, certainly kind of out of the frying pan, into the fire for your Mustangs. You draw Tulsa and Gonzaga last week, and now you've got another tough week ahead of you.
Yeah, but I think that's what to expect in a good conference. Kind of unusual scheduling getting Gonzaga in the middle of conference season, but I think games like that really help you, and we're looking forward to it.
Coach, looking at the AAC, has the league been kind of undervalued the last couple of years?
Oh, yeah. I think they're still doing that. That's why us, you know, having an opportunity to play a team like Gonzaga late in the year, hopefully it helps our conference, some of the other teams that I really believe are worthy of getting into the NCAA tournament. You know, when you win the conference championship and your conference tournament and you get a sixth seed, that's tough. Makes you realize they don't value your conference. And then the year before that, you know, we beat four really quality top 10 teams at the time and, you know, didn't even make the tournament. So I'm hopeful that our schedule and some of the other teams' schedule, you know, will help Cincinnati, Connecticut, Temple, Tulsa, people like that get into the tournament. They certainly deserve it in my mind. You know, Connecticut beat Texas at Texas. Games like that, I think, hopefully helps.
Coach, talking about the league title, certainly with some tough circumstances for your senior class this year, not being able to participate in the NCAA tournament. Talk about a little bit the leadership that Nick Moore and Marcus Kennedy and the other seniors have shown in keeping your team right in the middle of the fight for the American title.
Well, it's been really kind of neat to watch their growth, in particular Nick, because it hadn't been easy for him playing for me. You know, he played for Tim Jankovic in college before he transferred here, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's got this new coach with Tim on the staff. And that's not always easy, but he's really grown up. He's had a phenomenal career here, and I think this is his very best year, not only as a player, but as a leader. And Marcus has had a tough year, you know, physically. He hadn't been healthy the whole season, but at times he's really, really, you know, been able to play in games that he's made a real difference. And I'm hopeful the next six games it'll be his best because he's finally starting to get healthy. Jordan Tolbert, you know, he's been through a lot. When he went to Texas Tech, you know, Pat Knight recruited him, and he played for three other coaches. And that's never easy on anybody, but, you know, he's had a really, really solid year. And we only have seven guys, so you got to have everybody playing at a high level. You have to have everybody, you know, trusting each other and supporting one another. And I think Nick's done a great job in getting the kids to buy in that way.
Coach, and certainly being someone who really enjoys the practice court and the teaching element of the game, how tough is it to keep a team where you've only got a rotation of seven fresh and still get in the amount of work you want to in practice?
Well, it is a little unusual, and it has been a challenge trying to figure out how to best utilize your practice time. You know, we had to bring in a football player, and he's really helped us a great deal. But every single day, I think we get with our staff and we try to figure out ways to maximize the time we have. And, you know, our biggest thing is we do work hard in practice. That's the most important part, you know, for us, and get ready. And we really like to think that we can make players better, you know, kids that are conscientious and want to learn. we really feel strongly that if they allow us to coach them, we can make them better. But we did, you know, we've been dealing with this hand. You know, every day there's another issue. You know, we lost a really good freshman point guard who wanted to transfer early. Then we lose Keith, you know, in the middle of the season. And, you know, Marcus has been playing injured. But the nice thing about it, it gives other people an opportunity, and they have all stepped up. Our two freshmen have been great. And I think the future's pretty darn bright, and mostly because of the sacrifices every senior class has really made for us.
Coach, how enjoyable has it been to come back to the college game after a considerable period away and get a program jump started the way you have at SMU and seeing the way the fans have received the program since it's gotten up and rolling?
That's been the best part, you know, coming to SMU and understanding there was a tradition here years ago. You know, we thought we were going to go in the Big East when we got the job, and unfortunately that didn't work out, but we're in a great basketball conference, and we've been lucky. A lot of good teams have decided to play us. You know, I can't believe Michigan and Gonzaga would come into Moody and play us. Usually those power conference teams or great basketball teams, they generally will only play on neutral courts, but that's really helped us. The atmosphere in the building's great. I think we all love the facility, but the best part is, you know, the way people have supported our kids. I don't think there's many better venues to play in, and I think they've helped us win a lot of games. But the best part is, I think, coming back here, you know, I thought we could be a good team for a long time. Now I'm confident we can be a great program for a long time.
Coach, what's the biggest change in the college game from the time you left Kansas to the time you came back at SMU?
Well, I think you have so many more Division I teams. That's really changed. The biggest change is now that the way they've separated the power conferences. I think they have so many advantages right now, and that kind of disappoints me. But the neat thing is, you know, these power conference teams, they got a lot of kids that leave early, and then in a while you'll see a Butler, you know, a George Mason, you know, VCU, teams like that. Wichita State end up in the Final Four because they've had kids that have stayed all 4 years. I wish there was a way that we could keep kids here a little longer because I think they'd be better prepared when they go to the NBA. I think they'd get some coaching and they'd learn some responsibility and then they'd have a better chance of graduating. I'm not saying that LeBron doesn't deserve to leave because it happens in golf and tennis and baseball, but I wish there was a way we could keep kids a little bit longer. I think it would help the game a lot. And then I'm not a real fan of three-point shooting. I think we see too many bad shots, and that troubles me a little bit. Everybody's been fascinated by it. I think it's a fun shot, but I think people are relying on it too much.
Coach, talking about the advantage the power conferences have, does that essentially come down to the danger of there becoming a huge gap between the major football conferences and everybody else?
Yeah, and I think it's hurt rivalries. It's killed travel. You know, they talk about the best interest of the student athlete. How about Maryland playing against Nebraska? You know, we have to go all the way to Connecticut and KU doesn't play Missouri. Texas doesn't play Texas A&M. I don't get it, and I worry about it. I'm worried now that the power conferences can afford so much more to the kids, and I don't think that's in the best interest of our sport. But that being said, you know, there are some really good basketball conferences that aren't considered power conferences. And there's a lot of good basketball teams that, you know, aren't in that situation where they have to rely on football. But it's going to be a problem because I think some of those conferences are going to expand, and then the gap might get even bigger.
Do you think the officiating initiatives in the offseason as far as freedom of movement, have they had the desired effect on the game this year, or is there still more that needs to be done?
Oh, I think there's a lot more needed to be done. You know, I've always been a guy that thought advantage, disadvantage. You know, and if a guy gets an advantage on the offensive end, you know, call an offensive foul. If he gets an advantage on the defensive end, call a foul. I worry about the flow of the game. You know, I think we ought to spend more time figuring out how we can create people taking more shots instead of scoring by standing on the foul line. But the intentions are really good. I think a lot of people are trying to improve the game in that regard. And you just have to learn to play within the rules. It's going to be helpful, I think, for all of us to get kids defensively to learn how to move their feet and keep people in front of them. I worry about how physical it is, you know, in the post area. I remember when I was in the NBA, they changed to freedom of movement. And if Allen Iverson played when they had those rules in, he would have scored 50 points a game. So a lot of that kind of troubles me a little bit. But that's the way it is. And at 75, I'm like a dinosaur. They don't listen to me anyway.
Coach, speaking of Allen Iverson, he's a finalist now to join you in the Naismith Hall of Fame. Talk a little bit about coaching Allen Iverson and your time in Philadelphia.
Well, I always joke about it, but I know God put me here to coach him. I mean that in a good way. At the time I was coaching him, there were a lot of times that, you know, I'd shake my head and it was a little difficult, but I realized every time we played, he tried to win. He was maybe as good a competitor as we've ever had, probably the best athlete to ever play the game. And he's impacted my life. I can't go anywhere. You know, a lot of people don't know who I am or what my name is, but they all tell me I coached Allen. I keep in touch with him. I think this is something that he really deserved and probably needs. And I'm confident he's going to be selected the first time he was nominated, because nobody had a better career at that size with all the obstacles he faced. And I'm really proud of him. He came to speak to our team, and I've never seen kids listen better or appreciate somebody walking in our dressing room. It was almost like having President Bush come in, because I know how much it means to them when he does.
Coach, and one last question. Certainly with all you've accomplished and everything, it would be easy to kind of rest on your laurels and everything. What is it about the game that keeps you coming back?
Oh, I've been stealing a long time. You know, I don't think I've ever worked. I'm not really crazy about games, because I always worry that, you know, maybe we haven't prepared the kids for things that they may come across in a particular game. But I love being around them. You know, I love coaching and teaching, and I love being around, you know, young coaches that want to do what I've been lucky enough to do. So I don't want to stop until I feel like I'm not helping. And as long as, you know, the kids want to listen and coaches working with me feel like I'm helping them, I might as well keep doing it. I didn't enjoy retirement, aside from the fact that I watched other people coach and learned a lot. But, you know, I just like hanging out with the kids and my coaches.
Coach, certainly appreciate you taking some time out of an incredibly busy schedule to speak with us. Enjoyed it immensely.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thank you. That is Coach Larry Brown of the SMU Mustangs. Back after this.